continued interest in your prayers tonight. If you'd like to turn with me to my text, you'll find it in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Appreciate each one of you being here tonight. I'm going to read verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? As the Spirit impresses Paul to close this letter to the church at Corinth, the second letter to the church at Corinth, he leaves them with these words, examine yourselves. What does that look like? How do we do that? If the Lord would bless us tonight, I want us to study that a little bit. And some of the thoughts that I've had about this, we might visit this again. I'm not sure, but we will see how it goes tonight. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Well, the measuring stick there is going to have to be the Word of God, isn't it? That's how we measure everything in the way of righteousness, is by the Word of God. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Now, when he says the faith, we're talking about the body of truth, right? The whole of God's teaching, the faith, that faith which was once delivered to the saints, that faith which we are to try our best to read the Word of God, understand the Word of God, and try to apply the Word of God in such a way that others would see Christ in us. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. All right? Now that will involve thoughts, affections, our walk, our words, our fruitfulness. I mean, there's a lot of things that we need to examine about ourselves, isn't there? To see whether we be in the faith. This old flesh can rear its ugly head so quickly. Words can be spoken so quickly that we wish we hadn't said. Thoughts can pass through our mind when we see things while we're out and about, or just most any time. I'm thankful that just because a thought enters our mind doesn't mean that that's necessarily sin. You know, temptation itself is not necessarily sin. It's how we respond to it is whether or not the sin comes along. You know, James says, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And lust, when it's conceived, bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. So, we have to be careful, don't we? This old flesh nature of ours. Now, so that the first thing I want to try to study with you tonight is the idea of holiness. Holiness. God is holy, holy, holy. That's so much more than we'll ever be this side of glory. And even in glory, we'll be praising His glory, His holiness, His beauty. So we think about holiness. Let's, for just a moment, I know I have known folks that whenever you start mentioning being holy, they kind of check out. So let's dwell on this for a little while tonight. This idea of what the Bible teaches us, we know that God is holy. As I said, it's proclaimed that he is holy, holy, holy. But we're also exhorted, both in Leviticus and Peter mentions it, that be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, when he says be ye holy, we understand, you know, if I were to ask you the question, are you holy? I suspect most folks would say no. You know, our thoughts would probably go to Romans chapter 7, and we can relate to the Apostle Paul, and when he talked about the conflict that we have, when I would do good, evil is present with me. The good that I would, I do not, and that which I would not, that I do. Well, when you got that going on, we have to understand what the scriptures are speaking about in reference to admonishing us to be holy. Okay? So, God is holy, absolutely. But let's notice what Peter says about that. 1 Peter chapter 1. So now this whole study tonight is around the idea of examining yourselves, whether you be in the faith. What does Peter say about this idea of being holy? 1 Peter chapter 1, let's begin in verse 13, something I think I dwelt on a little bit last Wednesday night. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Our minds can wander, can't they? Like I said before, those thoughts enter in into our minds. And I like what the quote by Charles Spurgeon. It says, you know, thinking about the idea of how that thoughts can enter into our mind, and those thoughts are not necessarily sin, because he said, just like we can't keep a bird from flying over our heads, but we can keep him from building a nest in our hair. We are exposed to a lot of things in this life. Sometimes we need to turn away from it. You know, Job eschewed evil. He turned away from it. Joseph, when he was being tempted to with Potiphar's wife, he got him out. I believe is what the scripture says. You know, she held onto his coat and he left it there. It was better to leave the coat there and get out than to stay in that situation. So when we think about girding up the loins of our mind, it's so needful, isn't it, for us to be thinking properly, our thoughts. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So what's going on in here? What's going on in here is going to come out. All right. So gird up the loins of your mind. Even that expression is the idea of preparing for a difficult task. All right. So gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children. Now, didn't say just children. He says obedient children. We know the difference, don't we? We wish it was that way all the time. But doesn't always happen that way, does it? As obedient children. Well, how can we be an obedient child? You know, Ephesians chapter 5, he speaks about, he's given us some wonderful practical lessons that we should observe. And then in chapter 5, Paul said, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Dear children. Peter says obedient, as obedient children. That means we need to know the will. We need to know what's expected of us. We need to be mindful of it. And we need to do what we can to follow in that way. Okay? As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves. Now here's what we're not supposed to do to help us better understand what we are supposed to do. Not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. In other words, before we came to a time where we felt the love of God and wanted to please the Lord, all right, not fashioning yourselves in that way. There ought to be a difference, shouldn't there? You know, we've all had our conversation in time past in those things. There ought to be a change. There ought to be a leaving those things behind. Now, there's several passages that, Lord willing, we want to look at tonight to kind of give us that idea that in all of this, if we're going to pursue holiness in the sense of what we're being exhorted by the scriptures here, we got to leave some things behind, and we got to follow after righteousness. All right, so Peter says here, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So, this holiness, what are we talking about? Let me give you a definition. It was good enough. Sometimes you've got the idea already, but this one had so much to say. And again, I'm using Spiros Zodiates for this one and his lexicon. But holiness, it involves separation. That's what I was just talking about. Leaving some, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts. It involves separation. It involves consecration. When we've been called of God, this body is now the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's something sacred about that. If the Spirit of God dwells in us, it is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So we need to be careful about what we do with that temple. We need to be careful about what comes into this temple. All right? We need to keep that in mind. All right? So separation, consecration, and devotion to God. And I can't think of a better way to stir our devotion than to remember the grace that's been bestowed upon us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Purpose from the foundation of the world, Jesus came into this world and he accomplished all the Father sent him to do. He was raised again because he finished the work the Father sent him to do. The greatest evidence we have that he finished that work. I tell you, the more I think about that, and it just stirs within me that I want to be faithful to God. I want to be faithful to our Lord and Savior. If we indeed claim to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, then others ought to be able to see Christ in us. Because we've left that other stuff behind, and we want to follow him. And in pursuit of holiness. Now, I'm not talking about that we're going to get to a state of sinless perfection this side of glory. We're going to have Paul, he was an example to the believer. and he had that conflict in him. With all the abundance of revelation that God gave him, he still had that old flesh nature that he had to contend with. And he taught us about that in Galatians, in Romans, he's in well, I guess it's Galatians, where he talks about the spirit lusteth against the flesh against the spirit. The two are contrary, the one to the other. Yeah. So we've got that conflict. But I tell you, when I remember how much my Lord suffered, so what if I need to suffer something? We'll never suffer to the extent that he did. Even if we were sorely persecuted, even if we were beaten, even if we died as a martyr. You know, men did everything they could. You know, when you think about the suffering of Christ, and Isaiah 53 just lays it out there, doesn't it? When you think about when he was beaten, there wasn't some wimpy guy standing around with a pole or something like that. These were seasoned soldiers. This crucifixion happened from time to time, and they knew what to do. The beatings that he had was at the hands of just very mighty men of war. But even that paled when you come to think about how the Father poured out his wrath upon his Son for our sins. I'll tell you something, that does something for me in here. When I think about all that he suffered for us, surely we can deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. So separation, consecration, devotion to God. But he goes on to say this, sharing in God's purity. Now that's in thought and deeds, right? Abstaining from earth's defilements. In other words, separating ourselves from the things of this world. This world's not our home. We can enjoy the blessings of family and friends and the things that we have in this life. We can enjoy those things in the proper way. He put them here for us to enjoy. But don't let those things get between us and the Lord. Don't let them become an idol. So examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. As we look at this and go through this a little bit more. So, like I said, if I were to ask the question, are you holy? Well, some might say, well, I'm trying to be. All right? Some might just say, no, I come woefully short. And that's true too, isn't it? Some of the best people I've ever known in my life would tell you they're just worthless. They just come woefully short. And my thought about that is the closer somebody is to the Lord, the more those imperfections are felt and seen by themselves. When you examine yourselves in the light of God's word, we come woefully short. The closer we're walking to the Lord, the more of those imperfections we see. So, Paul would say let's just get Romans 7, verse 18. Paul says this, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Amen. See, we can be serving the Lord for a long time, but this old flesh is not getting any better. This old flesh is still the flesh. Now, we can develop good habits, and we can do good things, and we can separate ourselves from a lot of things, but this old flesh is still the flesh. All right? So he says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. And then he goes on with more discussion about that. But bless your hearts, if we've been called of God, then we've not been called to uncleanness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7. He's not called us unto uncleanness. There needs to be a change from what we used to be. He's not called us unto uncleanness, but to holiness. Called us unto holiness. So as in the language of Ephesians chapter 2, we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works that he hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We don't always, but we should always. All right? And so the more mindful we are, the more we examine ourselves, the more we try to do that which is pleasing unto the Lord, the better job we do of it. But we still got this old flesh with us. Still got it. All right? So it's good for us to examine ourselves. And the scriptures also teach us that if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. All right? So when we examine ourselves, when we see those things, those areas where we come short, we've all got them. We've all, like Hebrews 12 says, we should all lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. It might be one thing for you and something else for me, but we've all got them. Okay? All right? So he's created us in Christ Jesus unto good works. He doesn't make us do them, but we're able to do them. He works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works that he hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And when we do, we give glory to his name. When we let that light shine, it's before, he said, let your light so shine before men, that others may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. It's amazing how God works in folks that when they're not seeking the glory. When we want the Lord to get all the glory, which he deserves it, right? No glory to ourselves. It's only by the mercy and grace of God that we know him, love him, and have a desire to try to please him. Amen. Amen. All by his grace. So, the Spirit leads us. We have the Spirit in us to lead us. We've got the Word to teach us. We got the gospel to call us to obedience. Okay? All this... because he's called us to follow him and be like him. Now, you know, when Jesus said, if any man will come after me, which a long time ago I learned that expression, if any man will come after me, it means if any man will be like me. We're doing the things that he would do. We're doing the things that he's commanded us to do. If any man will be like me, that's how we follow him. If any man would like, then he tells us those conditions. Let him deny himself. Luke says, take up your cross daily. Matthew just says, take up your cross. But Luke says, do it daily. We do have to do that every day, don't we? We have to remind ourselves. We have to examine ourselves. See if we're in the faith. All right? Take up our cross daily and follow him. So let's notice this, let's see from several passages how this is combined for us. We know that it's only by the grace of God we have the desire to please him. It's only by being born again of the Spirit that we have the ability. All right? The enabling, the spiritual faculties, if you will, to see and hear and taste. All right? So it's only by his grace. But if he's given us that grace, then we're to follow him. All right? Let's notice, first of all, remember everything I've already said now. And look at these passages and see how these passages embody this idea of him calling us unto holiness, that as he is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Okay, Peter said that. And we understand that when the Bible speaks of the word conversation, it's not just our words, is it? Words are cheap. You might hear words, but you watch the footsteps, and the footsteps may say something different. I do like what Sir Francis of Assisi said one time, that we should preach the gospel everywhere we go, and if necessary, use words. Let your footsteps say what you really believe, okay? Or I think this expression came out of Texas. If you're going to talk the talk, then walk the walk. Right? Lots of ways to get that point across. And so there's several passages, and I'm sure there's more, but just don't have time to get into them, but there's several passages that embodies this idea of being called by grace, but then we need to respond and try to follow in that way of holiness. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's begin in verse 14. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Boy, how much heartache has that being unequally yoked together? How much heartache has that created? Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. If you're not pulling in the same direction, you're pulling against each other. The Bible gives us pure words of truth that will bring joy when we obey the word. Such wisdom. Well, it's the wisdom of God, so it's just, we'll never fathom the depths of it. But these practical lessons, that they seem like small things, but yet what an impact it can have on our lives when we follow this word, and what a blessing. Not only would it be add richness to our life and joy and peace and all of that, but it's also at the same time providing a good example for others to see and to follow, which could have a ripple effect for many generations. Just being obedient children and dear children following in these paths. So he says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? I mean, it's real plain, isn't it? And you know, we've all had those situations where we've been confronted with that. And what communion hath light with darkness? No communion. And what concord, what harmony hath Christ with Belial? Or what part? What do you have to share with he that believeth and he that's an infidel? I mean, that's pretty plain, isn't it? So it's not hard to understand. The effort is in obeying. The joy comes in obeying. And I suspect that at the head of that, you need to say that we need to know it. You know, a lot of folks find themselves in that situation because of their own ignorance of what the word says. Sometimes it's against what the word says, but sometimes it's just they didn't know any better. And what agreement hath the temple of God? Where's the temple of God? I've already told you. It's right here. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Oh, I tell you, it just makes you sick at your stomach when you read over in the book of Ezekiel and what we're told about how the children of Israel had gotten to the point where those things were brought into the temple and the things that they were doing. For ye are the temple of the living God. Wow, what a privilege. What a blessing. We don't have to travel to Jerusalem anymore to assemble and worship, but we have the temple of God. Now, we do have the church, and we should forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. We're to gather together, but listen, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. For God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wow, what a privilege. What a high blessing that we have. And so he says, remember that separation we talked about? Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Now, we have to make our way in this world, and there's times when we have to interact with those of the world, and on our jobs, and out in the public, and things. There's interaction that we're going to have that we don't have control over. But when we do have control over it, there needs to be some separation from the things of this world. Okay? Come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. You know, it's like, I think I saw the expression the other day, that Jesus sat with sinners, but he didn't sin with sinners. You know, we can be compassionate, we can be long-suffering, but we don't have to take up their ways. Okay? Come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And do you know we have to meet the Lord on his terms to enjoy fellowship and communion with him? And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Powerful passage. Okay? To examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. A lot of practical lessons, continuing from chapter 4 into chapter 5. A lot of things he's telling us not to do. Okay? In the interest of time, though, we're going to deal with what he says to do. Verse 7. Ephesians 5, verse 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Okay? That's plain enough. For ye were sometime darkness. Notice that didn't say sometime you were in darkness. You were, but that's not what it's saying. Not saying you were sometime in darkness. It says you were darkness. Without the Holy Spirit within us, we don't have any light. Okay? So you were sometime darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord. He did that for you. You couldn't do that. That's by the grace of God that we have this blessing. So he says, but now ye are light in the Lord. And the practical admonition is, walk as children of light. Let it be seen. We're living in a day, at least in my lifetime, I'm sure there have been other bad times prior to this, but in my lifetime, I can't think of another time that I feel like it is so incumbent upon God's people to let that light shine, to let others see who we love, to let others see who our Father is, to let others see what we understand, who we're following. It's so sad to me for a child of God to just blend in with the world and look like those that have no idea whatsoever what right and wrong is. For you were sometime darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And then a parenthetical expression that gives us a little idea of what kind of walk that would be. It's going to be a walk that's bearing fruit. Okay? So part of that examining ourselves might be looking at the fruit that's being born. You might even look at the kind of seeds you've been sowing, because that's going to say something about the kind of harvest you're going to reap, right? That principle is still in effect, right? Sowing and reaping, yeah, it's inescapable, okay? So walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness. Where's that come from? That's the glory of God right there. His goodness and the word that he's given us. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Boy, if we dwell on those things, the goodness of God, the righteousness of God, the truth that he's given us, yeah, that'll help us to walk as children of light. That'll help us to have more light in ourselves. That'll help us to let our light shine brighter so that others could see that light. There's a lot of folks in this world today that needs to see that light. And we can't give too much glory to God. As a matter of fact, most of the time the opposite is the need. We need to see, we need to show more glory to God. Okay, so it says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. He goes on to talk about how it's a shame for some of these things that he mentions. And I tell you, it just seemed like to me, we're living in a society now, there's just very little shame, if any at all. And so many things. And our culture just keeps pushing it and pushing it and pushing it to where their way of living and their standards is just going to be the norm as far as what we see in our culture. And so we need to be standing up for what's right. You know, long time ago I heard Elder Sonny Pyle say, we may feel like we're trying to turn back maybe it was Joe Holder, said we may be trying, it may seem like we're trying to turn back the tide with a teaspoon, but what we can do is all we can do. We can try to be a good example to others, we can exhort others, but first and foremost, we need to do what's right. All right. So, you were sometime darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Colossians chapter 1. We could take time to look at each one of these letters Paul wrote, and I'm sure the Spirit inspired him to give that same lesson. This is such a fundamental lesson. I'm sure it's in every one of these epistles. All right. But we're just, in the interest of time, we're just going to notice some of them. Colossians 1. This follows one of the prayers that Paul offered, that we might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing. Let's just begin in verse 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. I think we've heard that already, haven't we? and increasing in the knowledge of God. Colossians chapter 1. All right. That was verse 10. Verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet. There it is. There's the grace of God. He had to do that. We wouldn't have that desire in and of ourselves. Paul said, he knew that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, apart from the grace of God and what he does for us. All right. He hath made us meet to be partakers. That is, we have participation in these. Partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, he could have done this and not told us about it. But he's let us know about it. How wonderful. I mean, the work of Christ could have purchased that for us, but if apart from the Holy Spirit giving us light and enabling us to be children of light, we wouldn't know anything about it. But he has told us about it because he has a reason for calling us and giving us that light. All right. So he says, made us meet. All right. Whatever was necessary, he'd done it. Made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. He did that. Give him all the praise. Glory, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. I'm so thankful that we can see the kingdom of God. I'm so thankful that we can walk in the kingdom of God. There's so much going on in this world today. There's so many things I wish was different. If I could change a lot of things, I would. But you know, the Lord didn't call his apostles to overthrow Rome. He told them how they were supposed to live. He gave them a gospel to preach. He told them they were to be witnesses of him. This world, this fallen world in which we live, there's a lot of evil things going on. There's a lot of unrighteousness. That's an understatement, isn't it? There's a lot of that. But the darker that is, the better opportunity we have to let the light shine from us. I remember being in a situation, it wasn't a terrible situation, but it was just a situation I remember being in my professional life where I just begged the Lord to just deliver me from that and help me to have an environment that I could be with more Christian people. Well, it seemed like the answer I got to that was that the Lord told me, or impressed upon me, I didn't hear an audible voice, but I had the impression that he wanted a light in that dark place. So I was more content after that. And oftentimes that is the case. We need to be, and Philippians talks about holding forth the word of life. You know, letting it light, letting it shine in this dark and unfriendly world. We need to be that. We need to do that. We need to examine ourselves and see where we might be coming short and see if we can ask the Lord to show us, you know, search me, try me, know my heart, know my thoughts, see if there's been any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. We need to examine ourselves on a regular basis. So he says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us. Now that's something he did. We didn't have any cooperation in that. He translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Now, we still have the idea of pressing into that kingdom, don't we? We still have the need to remember his goodness and mercy upon us, to be thankful for the blessings we have, to be adding, you know, all those things that Peter talked about in 2 Peter chapter 1 that we're to add to our faith. Because he said in so doing, when you add, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful, the knowledge of God, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly to the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So he's translated us from the power of darkness, delivered us from the power of darkness, and translated us into the kingdom of his. What a privilege that is. What a blessing that is. When's the last time you thanked him for it? When's the last time you thanked the Lord for blessing you to see the kingdom? You didn't get that ability on your own. It was given to you by the grace of God. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Time's about gone. 1 Peter chapter 2. I hope that each one of these passages we've been looking at will help us to better understand what's involved in examining ourselves. Different passages approach the same, a lot of the same thoughts from a different angle, and so it just helps us to compare Scripture with Scripture and so forth. The chapter itself, 1 Peter chapter 2, begins, "Wherefore laying aside," okay, separate yourself, right? Got to lay aside some things. This old flesh would be involved in a lot of those things. This old flesh loves some of those things. All right? But we need to lay aside malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, and all evil speakings. Separate yourselves from those kind of things. That's not appropriate for the temple of the Holy Ghost. All right? Okay. Let's drop down to verse 9. "But ye are a chosen generation." I may not go through a lot of this tonight in the interest of time, but a chosen generation. Now, sometimes a generation is more than just like 40 years. You know, sometimes we look at an age of people. You know, we sometimes will say the past generation or so forth. But when the Lord speaks of a generation here, he's talking about his people. They were born at various times, but they're born of the Spirit. They're born again. They're born, being born of the Spirit. They're that nation that, you know, when Jesus said to the Jews, "Therefore, the kingdom is taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof." That nation is people that are born of the Spirit of God. They have, you know, people of a nation, you kind of think of them as having a common birth. Well, this nation, this kingdom was taken from the Jews and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. That nation is the nation of God's people, born again, being able to see the kingdom of God. So, this generation, you're a chosen generation. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. We didn't have any impact on that. But we certainly have the privilege of it. We certainly have the blessing of it. And we have the responsibility of it. So that others can see that we are part of that chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. There it is again, holiness. Holy nation. The more we can be like him, the more holy we are, right? In this practical sense that we're talking about. A peculiar people. We don't have any problem being peculiar, do we? But he's talking about a special people, just like this chosen generation. Why? That ye should show forth the praises. Wow. We have the opportunity, enabled by the grace of God, by the power of God, by the goodness of God, by the mercy of God, we have the opportunity to show forth His praises. So, when we examine ourselves, we realize that, okay, there has to be some choices made, right? Has to be some separation here, some consecration, some devotion. That we should show forth the praises of Him that has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And it is marvelous, isn't it? Oh, when we think about what this word teaches us, we think about the life that we should live. He hath before ordained that we should walk in those good works. When we think about how marvelous that is, when we think about how that following after righteousness and walking in the paths of righteousness and providing a good example for our family and our friends and those that are watching us, because people do watch you. When you show forth His praises, because He's to the one that's called us out of darkness into His marvelous love. This truth, this love, this mercy, all that He teaches us to follow so that we can be more like Him. Examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith. This is what will show us. This is the rule book. This is the measuring stick. This is the perfect law of liberty. So I skipped over one, but I want to come back to it very quickly here as we close out. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Again, in a section where a lot of practical admonition. He summarizes the Ten Commandments by saying, if there anything, let me see. Thou shalt not, if there be any other commandment, back in verse 9, if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So that first table that had the first commandments on it was how we're to worship God. How do we love God? And that second table had those lessons of how we're to love one another, right? So loving God and loving one another. He says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. All right? And that knowing the time, not the time of the clock, but what is our time? What is the time? What's our culture like? What's the church? I don't mean the perfect way that God intends for the church to be, but how are we handling that? Knowing the time, the day in which we live, the problems that are facing us, challenges that are before us, what are we going to be able to hand off to the next generation? How much are we letting our light shine as we examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith? And that knowing the time, that now it is high time. High time. As Brother Sonny says, high time means just before it's too late. Too late for what? Well, it might be too late for this nation if we don't do something about it. You know, God's people have always lived among the world. Now, when it was the nation of Israel, they were to be separate, but they still had the world around them. And so do we. But it's high time, just before it's too late, all right? High time to awake out of sleep. Now, that's one thing we really need to be examining ourselves about. In what things are we asleep in? It's high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Now, it is a blessed truth that we're closer to the time that the Lord will come again than we've ever been. That's just a fact. We're closer than we've ever been. But you know, the church has moved from place to place over the years. And when God's people are adhering to the Word of God, when they're following after righteousness, when they're examining themselves, when they're trying their best to be more like Him, you can just rest assured the Lord's going to bless that. He will. He's faithful. That's what He told us to do. And when we're faithful to Him, He blesses. And so even in the midst of all that's going on, we can still be in a blessed condition. Just like the children of Israel, when they, over in Jeremiah 29, I believe it is, when they were carried away into captive, and the Lord told Jeremiah to write a letter and send it over there to them and tell them how they were to live their lives in captivity. Plant your vineyards, build your houses, let your children marry, so that you'll be increased and not diminished. Pray for the city, for in the peace thereof shall you find peace. That sounds like a wonderful prescription for even what we're in today. God's still faithful. His word is still faithful. His word is still applicable. We can still be blessed by following what He said, letting our light shine, coming out, being a separate people, and our devotion to Him, you know, all those things we've talked about tonight. All right, so He said it's high time to awake out of sleep. Spiritual slumber is a terrible thing, isn't it? Isn't that what Laodicea, you know, they were lukewarm. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. To that church. Examine yourselves. You know, continuing on with that lesson at Laodicea, he says, many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Examine yourselves. Boy, that's a big subject. I've only begun to scratch the surface. But it's good admonition for each one of us to lay to heart. The Bible teaches it over and over and over and over and over. You get the picture? When there's repetition, in the Word of God, it's because we're prone to forget it. We're prone to leave it off. And so the Word tells us over and over and over in various ways how we're to attend, examine ourselves, see if we're in the faith. Let that light shine. Follow after Him. Be ye holy, for I am holy. The more we can be like Him, the more others can see Christ in us, the more glory He'll receive from our life. And that's our first job, is to give glory to His matchless name. May God bless you, is our prayer.